happens is when it turns to violence, the core of the idea of most of the folks that went to protest today gets vanished.
He said he feared the violence would, quote, damage Puerto Rico's good name. Adrian Florido, NPR News, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
A private equity firm is apparently ready to take over the Weinstein Company, co-founded by disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. The company, Lantern Capital, has offered $435 million for the movie and TV studios, as well as a library of films. Weinstein has been accused by several women of sexual assault. He denies the charges. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Focus Features with Tully, from director Jason Reitman and writer Diablo Cody. Juno was just the beginning. Young adult continued the journey. Tully is a comedy about what to do next, starring Charlize Theron, in theaters Friday. And the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Hello, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage pickup provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Garbage and recycling containers should be placed at the curb before 7 a.m. on your scheduled collection day. Keep Summit County green. SummitCounty.org/recycle.
Hi, this is Whitney Ryan from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain's Epic Promise recently committed to a net zero footprint by 2030. The environment is our business. By 2030, we commit to zero net emissions, zero waste to the landfill, and a zero net operating impact to forests and habitat. More information at epicpromise.com.
Good morning. This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. It's a weekly program about health, fitness, nutrition, and all things lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney. First this morning, Lynn will speak with Admiral James Wennefeld, former vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and current co-chair of SAFE Project US, that's Stop the Addiction Fatality Epidemic. Lynn discusses the death of the Admiral's 19-year-old son, Jonathan, from a heroin overdose that began as an opioid addiction, and what is being done to address the problem.
Then we're joined by Dr. Stephen Gundry. He's the author of the New York Times 2017 bestseller, The Plant Paradox. He'll be discussing his latest book, a complement to his first, The Plant Paradox Cookbook, 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free.
Lectin. Did you know about lectins?
I did not know about lectins.
Did you know lectins are in all sorts of food that we think are the healthiest things we could possibly eat? Like tomatoes. Weren't you told to eat your tomatoes?
And cucumbers.
And cucumbers.
And grains.
It's all coming to an end.
But we will know much more after this hour about lectins and how you can live with less inflammation in your body when you live lectin-free. This is The Mountain Life. We'll be back after these words from our underwriters. Stay with us.
This is Suzanne Harris Cooper with Chin McCoy Fleming Harris and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. I love supporting and listening to KPCW, especially every Thursday morning from 10 to noon when my husband Craig Cooper is the volunteer DJ. Thanks for keeping us updated about all things Park City KPCW.
Hi, this is Whitney Ryan from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain's Epic Promise recently committed to a net zero footprint by 2030. The environment is our business. By 2030, we commit to zero net emissions, zero waste to the landfill, and a zero net operating impact to forests and habitat. More information at epicpromise.com.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Here with Tim Henney. By the time of his retirement in 2015, our guest, Admiral James Wennefeld, had served in the Navy for 37 years. He had flown the F-14 Tomcat, commanded an aircraft carrier. He had served 4 years as the 9th Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and was the United States' number 2 ranking military officer. That same year, he lost his 19-year-old son, Jonathan, to a heroin overdose attributable to opioid addiction. On May 8th, the Admiral and his wife, Mary, will present as part of Park City and Summit County's Connect Community Education Series at the Blair Education Center at the Park City Hospital. I spoke with the Admiral in the wee hours of the morning this morning. It's an honor to be joined by Admiral James Winnefeld. Welcome to the Mountain Life.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on this morning. It's a pleasure.
First of all, let me start by expressing my deepest regrets for the tragic loss of your son. That sort of loss is unfathomable for any parent.
Well, thank you. It really is unfathomable. It's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, and that's one of the reasons why we stood up the project, is to try to do whatever we can to prevent other families from going through the same thing.
Well, it's wonderful that you've started SAFE Project US and also that you're going to be joining us next week here in Park City. Take us through briefly. Let's start with Jonathan's, you know, maybe his history a bit. He was a high-achieving, very bright young man. He struggled with a bit of anxiety and depression throughout high school. He started with what we would call, I guess, gateway drugs, and then where did he go from there?
Right. And, you know, Jonathan was a good kid. He was very smart, very athletic. He didn't have an enemy in the world. A military kid, moved around quite a lot. And, you know, over time, we started to discover that Jonathan suffered from anxiety and a bit of depression. And that dogged him throughout his life. It started to catch up with him a little bit later on. And we believe there are sort of three pathways into opioid addiction. One is sort of overprescription for a physical injury or a medical procedure. That was not Jonathan. Another path is sort of the party path. That was also not Jonathan. And the third path is sort of self-medication for some sort of a mental challenge. And that's where John started to go down the path. It started with a little alcohol, then some marijuana, then Xanax, benzodiazepine, and ultimately, as we discovered later, opiates.
Mm. You talk about things that you've learned along the way about addiction and how it really captures our brain in a much deeper way than you ever knew of. And you talk about, you quote Sam Quiñones, who wrote a book called Dreamland, about the morphine molecule. What is that?
Yes, we always thought addiction was much like many Americans, that it was sort of a moral failing. You know, you did something and you did too much of it and it kind of captured you. As we got further into this with Jonathan and began to learn more about it, we realized that it's a disease. It's actual physical changes in the brain where the opioid molecule begins to desensitize the naturally occurring opioid sensors we have in our brain, the receptors that help us regulate pain and pleasure and, in fact, respiration. And so as you get deeper and deeper into this downward spiral of addiction, those opioid receptors become desensitized. You need more of the drug to achieve the same effect and also to avoid withdrawal. And that's what traps you in the addiction.
Right.
And that's what's so dangerous about this drug.
Well, Jonathan had been in recovery. You got to this point where he had this crucial turn of events. There was a car accident, and you and your wife, Mary, decided to put him into a rehab or a treatment center. So he went through about 18 months of recovery. Describe that recovery.
Well, you know, it was sort of a frantic search the day that he had his event. We finally found a good place for Jonathan. He ended up in actually 15 months of inpatient treatment at two very, very good centers that were, by the way, not paid for by our insurance. And we watched slowly our son recover. We watched his brain recover. The brain does recover from this sort of addictive situation with the opioid molecule. And we thought everything was going really well. He was ready to go back to college. He had written this powerful essay about his experience becoming an emergency medical technician, where he discovered he wanted to help other people like himself. And we didn't realize that the most dangerous part of this journey is the transition out of inpatient treatment, where your opioid receptors have now recovered, but you still are susceptible to the cravings. And that's what got Jonathan.
Right. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Admiral Sandy Winnefeld. He is the former vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He, along with his wife Mary, will be in Park City next week on May 8th at 6:30 p.m. They'll be speaking at the Park City Hospital as part of Connect's May Mental Health Awareness Month. They'll be speaking about the tragic loss of their son, Jonathan, to a drug overdose related to an opioid addiction, an addiction that they believed he had recovered from after 18 months in recovery. So he had gone off to college at the University of Denver. Everything was going well. And you described this night that he was walking home from some sort of course related to his EMT work, and he was just exposed to maybe the suggestion or the hint of heroin.
That's right. And, you know, scientists have shown that you can take someone in recovery and show them pictures of drug paraphernalia at a frame rate faster than the conscious mind can comprehend, but the subconscious mind sees them and releases the endorphins and the dopamines and the like that have caused the cravings to reemerge. And this is what happened to Jonathan. He was taking an EKG course that the state of Colorado wanted him to have if he was going to practice his EMT capability. And he was walking home from a very good learning center for this, but it also happens to be right next to Denver's outdoor heroin market. And he was offered the drug, as we later found out, and he could not resist that. And that this is what's so dangerous, is now you have opioid receptors that have recovered that are resensitized. And if you give them the same dose of opiates that it took to get you high and to keep you out of withdrawal when you were actually in the depths of your addiction, it can kill you by ceasing respiration. And essentially, someone going through an opioid overdose suffocates. And that's what happened to Jonathan.
Mm. The trap of addiction sounds to me so deep, and you illuminated things for me that I wasn't really clear on. And how it hits home for me is that addiction is so strong that the prevention really is to never start, especially for young people who may be experimenting. It's something that we can't do anymore. You know, when you and I were younger, experimenting around was just plain different than it is now with the availability of opioids.
Well, the drugs that people were experimenting with when you and I were growing up, although I'm probably older than you are, were much more benign than what is available out there today. What's available today in terms of much stronger strains of marijuana and, of course, the opioids that we were not exposed to when we were kids, these are not just slightly dangerous drugs. These are drugs that can kill you. And that's the message we're trying to get out. We are smart enough to not say, you know, just say no. In terms of N-O, we believe it's sort of just say no. In terms of K-N-O-W, you have to know about the dangers of these drugs if you're going to successfully resist them. And I also think, you know, it's got a lot to do with the pharmaceutical industry, doctors and dentists and smart consumers as regards prescription medicines as well. That's what really started us down this road in the first place.
Right. My son had just a small surgery, removing a cyst from the side of his face. It was very simple. And they wanted to prescribe him opioids for pain relief. And I refused them. And this discussion ensued between the medical care provider and me about this, you know, responsibility that healthcare providers have to relieve pain. And
oh, you're so smart on this. And it's just remarkable to me that the medical community has not stood up more quickly in recognizing this great danger. I've done sort of an informal survey over the last few months talking to people like you who perhaps had a medical procedure or an injury. And I've asked them, were you prescribed opioids? And nine times out of 10, they were. And I've also asked them, did your doctor or dentist give you a verbal strong warning about the drug that you potentially could take here? And in absolutely zero case, has that warning been delivered? And as in your case with your son, very often they're insisting that you take them because they are being evaluated on how well they treat pain. And I think it takes a smart consumer to push back like you did.
Yeah. I eventually ended up walking out of there with a prescription in hand and never filled it. And it turned out that, you know, ibuprofen was just fine and not even very much of it. You know, I don't even think I gave him 800 milligrams.
Yeah. Well, when you and I had our wisdom teeth out, we were given Tylenol and told, pain is a naturally occurring phenomenon. Just deal with it. Now, the culture has grown to where you have a right to be completely insulated from all pain, and that is just not smart physiologically. And of course, it's driven a lot of people into addiction.
If you could talk a little bit about Jonathan's treatment center where he was at, and the kind of treatment. I have read a little bit about. I'm familiar with what naloxone is and why mm-hmm. it is there ready to be administered, even in recovery and treatment.
Sure, naloxone is essentially otherwise known as Narcan. Is really a very fast acting drug that strips your opioid receptors in your brain of all opioids. And that is what can quickly pull somebody out of an overdose condition. It's almost a miracle. The problem, of course, is with stripped opioid receptors, you go immediately and deeply into withdrawal, but at least you're alive. That'll get you into, if you're lucky, into treatment. And in treatment, what most people would agree is the best approach, because treatment does work, is something called medication-assisted treatment. And that doesn't mean necessarily just medication to replace the opioids. It means the full spectrum of counseling, of support, of teaching people what they've just been through and what it takes to get through it. But it also is really helpful to have some of the new drugs that are coming out that help to fill the opioid receptors to a certain degree, that eliminate the cravings, that eliminate the withdrawal symptoms, and really sort of give you a fighting chance to allow your brain to recover. Sometimes it's a little controversial. You hear about methadone. It sort of has a bad brand, but a lot of people would actually swear that it's helped them get out of their addiction. There are other drugs, Suboxone, Naltrexone, and buprenorphine, those sorts of things. But it is, if you're in recovery, it is wise to at least ask the question, should I be in medication-assisted treatment? And in most cases, the answer is going to be yes.
Mm. If you're just joining us, my guest is Admiral James Winnefeld, Sandy Winnefeld. He'll be joining us in Park City during Connect's May Mental Health Awareness Month. On May 8th at 6:30 p.m., he'll be speaking at the Intermountain Park City Hospital Blair Education and Conference Center, along with his wife, Mary. They've co-founded the group SAFE, Project U.S., and SAFE stands for Stop the Addiction Fatality Epidemic. It's a nationwide crusade to defeat the opioid epidemic. So, Sandy, I just wanted to mention that you'll find when you arrive at the Park City Hospital that they have logoed, they've brought this new signage into the hospital. You'll be pleased to see in the cafe, all of their tables are now covered with the dangers of opioid addiction and abuse. And it's really very educational. They've gone throughout the hospital, actually. And so it's heartening to see that a hospital is taking this seriously and making changes. I'm sure the road ahead is going to be long. But have you found this shifting tide among healthcare providers?
Well, what we're finding is that the American public is starting to realize that there is an opioid epidemic. And like a lot of things, it's an extremely complex problem. And you have to be very careful not to lunge for simplistic solutions in the face of very complex problems. And there really are sort of six things we think the nation has to do if it's going to get this epidemic under control. One is, of course, public awareness, both to get the support we need for the resources, but also to lower the stigma associated with substance dependency. That's terribly important. Mm-hmm. And I think having those tables in the hospital is a really good incremental step in that regard. Another one is prevention, which is credible voices talking in schools and workplaces and the like to educate people on the dangers of some of these drugs. The third one is the prescription medicine piece. Again, pharmaceutical companies, doctors, dentists, smart consumers, take-back programs and the like. A fourth one is law enforcement and medical response wisely applied. 85% of the people in this country who are arrested for drug crimes are arrested for possession, and we don't really think that's the way you win this thing. You got to go after the dealers. Treatment and recovery is terribly important. There's just not enough access to quality treatment in this country, and it's not very affordable. And then finally is family outreach and support. Families are essential to helping someone who is dependent on a substance like opiates to get through it. And this sort of falls in the category, if we only knew then what we know now, right, we would still have our son with us. And so we're working very hard in that regard to educate families on how to prevent this, but also how to deal with it when it happens.
Drug overdose is now the leading cause of death for Americans younger than 50. That is absolutely confounding, that statistic. You talk a little bit about it in an article that you wrote for The Atlantic in January, I believe. Can you take us through some of the statistics?
Well, the statistics are mind-boggling. 64,000 people were lost to drug overdoses in 2016, about two-thirds of which were opiates. And fentanyl imported from China is an increasing share of those deaths. There are other worrying statistics as well, such as the White House stating that it causes $504 billion, that's $500 billion of economic impact each year in terms of increased healthcare costs, reduced productivity, incarceration costs, and that sort of thing. And then the one that really sticks in my craw is a baby born every 25 minutes in this country that is addicted to opioids. That's just not right. It's something that we can fix. This is a solvable problem. It's just going to take a concerted effort along all these different threads that we have to take on as a country. But we can do this.
That's right. Especially with the help of people like you and your wife, Mary. Talk a little bit about your sort of the speaking engagements and the towns that you're visiting, like Park City. You must be in very high demand.
Well, that fits squarely into our public awareness line of operation that we're working here at the SAFE Project. We believe that we, in standing up and speaking publicly, are trying to set a good example of crushing stigma. It would be very easy to crawl into a little ball of grief, anger, and shame, but we've chosen not to do that. And we also have a very good network of friends who can help us with some resources to try to make a difference at the community and the campus level across the country. So it's, I tell people sometimes, if this weren't such a terrible family tragedy, it would actually be a fun problem to solve because right. I love solving complex problems. But it really is a daily grind to try to get the word out.
Right. You say, and it's so brave how you come out and you say that you helped command the most powerful military in the world, but you couldn't save your own son from a fatal opioid overdose. And I think this can really speak to your listening audience by saying that, not only did you, were you so successful in your career and as a family, but you had access to resources that got Jonathan the best treatment available. And you talk about how, even though it was obviously painful, you spent more for his recovery than, you would have spent for 4 years of college, which is just unbelievable.
Well, I'd spend everything I have to have him back.
Absolutely.
You can only imagine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, Admiral Sandy Winnefeld, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. You'll be in Park City along with Mary next week on May 8th, speaking at the Intermountain Park City Hospital Blair Education and Conference Center. It's at 6:30 p.m. Admission is free, and I suppose that you'll speak for a while and then have a lengthy Q&A.
Well, we really look forward to the event. My wife, Mary, is fantastic. She's my hero with how well she has coped with this terrible tragedy. And we do look forward to meeting people out in Park City and delighted to answer questions. We'll stay as long as people want to talk.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Sandy. We'll look forward to meeting you next week.
Okay, it was a pleasure being on your program, and thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And again, Admiral James Sandy Winnefeld, a very interesting conversation. I would highly recommend attending that lecture next week, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. Free admission. It's at the Blair Conference Center, which is in that new wing of the Park City Hospital. A great place to hear speakers. And let's just go through, since we have a few minutes here, let's talk about May Mental Health Awareness Month and all of the, there are about 17 events sponsored by Connect Summit County. You can find more about them at connectsummitcounty.org, but we're going to highlight just a few.
Well, for instance, tonight at the Jim Santee Auditorium, starting at 5:30, there's a free community conversation that's being moderated by Mary Krista Smith from the Communities That Care Coordinator, and she is the Communities That Care Coordinator under the Summit County and Park City Wellness Alliance. And this is a conversation with four kids from the Park City High School that is really quite amazing. All of these kids have done TED Talks in the past. Piper Moeller, Sadie Ortiz, Natalie Fink, and Lexi Laufer. And they'll be talking, it's called Ask Me Anything is the title of this conversation. And all members of the community are welcome and invited into the Jim Santee. It would be great to have a packed house. I have a feeling it will be a packed house, because this is something that doesn't happen very often. And these kids are going to come up. They're going to be vulnerable. They're going to answer honestly and frankly and candidly any question from the audience and on these particular topics. They all are part of different clubs within the Park City High School, from the Park City Latinos in Action, the Gay Straight Alliance, and the Hope Squad, which, when I was a kid, those clubs didn't exist. And today they're kind of on the forefront and cutting edge of this conversation that we're having in the community.
And that's all part of this destigmatization, there we go, that the Admiral was talking about, you know, destigmatizing all these things related to mental health, addiction, and just, shedding some light on it and daylighting it and talking about it and realizing that these issues are prevalent in our communities and in our families. And that was also the message that was so powerful from Admiral Winnefeld, is that, you know, by all measures, he has achieved every success in life and yet could not save his son from this terrible addiction. And so really opening your heart and listening to these people being, as you say, vulnerable and really answering the questions that we all have on our minds. And I learned so much even from him that I thought I knew a lot about addiction, and there are a lot of things that I don't know. And so, as he says, don't say no, N-O, but K-N-O-W. I like that.
And I like the way that, you know, this is being framed from the Admiral kind of at one end of the spectrum. He's, you know, our age or maybe a little bit older, and has suffered a tragedy in his family. And he is being open and inclusive and vulnerable and destigmatizing. And then at the other end, you have what we saw last night out at the Camas Community Center. We had kids getting youth recognition for being inclusive, for being leaders in this conversation and in this movement that is taking place. And, you know, what sparked it and all the events and the tragic deaths of two 13-year-olds couple of years ago, you know, that's part of the story. But to me, the most amazing part is where we are as a community today having this conversation, and the spectrum that it involves, and the broad swath of the community that is really engaged. And I am so proud of the community for being in this position to tackle this and take it on in a very honest way. It's inspiring and amazing.
It really is. So again, go to connectsummitcounty.org. I recommend, and this is what I did, I just printed out the entire month's events, because there are so many, and inevitably, you know, I'll get 2 days past one and go, oh, I really wanted to go to that. So just another highlight from something going on this week. So tomorrow night, May 3rd at 6 p.m. at the Jim Santee, it's Social Media Wellness, and it's presented by author Anna Homayoun. I'm sort of guessing at how the pronunciation of her last name, but it's Understanding the Intersection of School Stress and Social Media. And of course, we know today's students face this huge challenge of figuring out how to use the digital tools that help us so much in our lives, and also present such a challenge when it comes to, socialization and mental wellness and all of that. So again, that's tomorrow, May 3rd at 6 p.m. The event at tonight is at 5:30. That's Ask Me Anything with the students from Park City High School. Both of those events are at the Jim Santee. So,
and there will be pizza tonight as well.
Oh, well,
free
always,
pizza.
Always something good. But is that pizza lectin-free?
That's the question, isn't it?
Let's come back after a very quick underwriting break. We'll be speaking with Dr. Stephen Gundry, The Plant Paradox, and the new cookbook.
For adventurers on a budget, the Utah Olympic Park offers a host of activities at no charge. Admission and parking are always free. Start with a tour of the Alf Engen Ski Museum and the Eccles 2002 Winter Games Museum. Best of all, come support athletes from all over the world who train at the park. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Details available at UtahOlympicLegacy.org.
Utah Olympic Park is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing winter sport and recreation opportunities and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Our next guest, Dr. Stephen Gundry, has a 2017 New York Times bestseller. It's called The Plant Paradox, in which he exposed the toxic nature of lectins, one of which is gluten, and how they lead to chronic inflammation. He joins us now to share his latest book, which complements the first book. This one is The Plant Paradox Cookbook, 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. It's a guide to overhauling your pantry and creating shopping lists to make delicious, simple, seasonal, lectin-free meals. Dr. Gundry, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be back in Park City.
Ah, well, wonderful. Glad to hear that. So let's start with how you discovered this thing about lectins and being bad for us. And what is a very bad lectin? And what is a good lectin?
Great. Let's start backwards. A lectin is a plant protein. That's a defense system of the plant. And these sticky proteins are designed to bind to certain sugar molecules in us, in our gut, in our nerves, in our brain, and in our blood vessels, and in our joints. And it's the plant defense system against being eaten. And plants, believe it or not, don't like being eaten. So I discovered their effect more than 17 years ago when I had a patient with inoperable heart disease, who I call Big Ed, reverse all the blockages in his coronary arteries by eating a diet that he had designed that, when I shockingly noticed what was missing from his diet, there was a plant protein called a lectin. And I, at that time, was a professor and chairman of heart surgery at Loma Linda University. And I started investigating removing lectin-containing foods from people's diets. And lo and behold, for the last 17 years, we've been able to trace this with the blood test. And removing lectins from people's diets has resulted in amazing transformation in people's health. So that produced the plant paradox. And the cookbook actually is now a new New York Times bestseller for the last 2 weeks. So I'm happy to report.
Congratulations.
And it's a way of getting people, yeah, thanks. It's a way of getting people to actually eat lectin-free with all the comfort foods they like, particularly on a warm, snowy day in Deer Valley.
Yeah, you have pizza on the cover.
Yeah.
And we have an event in town tonight where there's free pizza. So Lynn was asking in the break between our underwriters and bringing you on air whether I thought the pizza at the event would be lectin-free. I can guarantee it won't be lectin-free, even if it's gluten-free.
That's correct. The tomato sauce is usually made by grinding the peels and the seeds and the pulp of the tomato together, although the Italians would never think of doing that. They always peel and de-seed their tomatoes before making sauce because the peel and the seeds have lectins in them.
Did they know that?
And most, yes. Well, they knew it. What I've done through
on some level.
They knew that it made them hurt. We've looked at lots of cultures. Let me give you another example. The 4 billion people use rice as their staple, and yet 4 billion people go to the trouble of taking the hull off of brown rice and eating it white.
And everybody knows that brown rice is so much better for you. Well, 4 billion people aren't stupid. And the hull contains the lectins, and they've been taking that away for 8,000 years. Did they know it contained lectins? No, but they knew that eating the brown rice made them not as the white rice.
Huh. Well, now I'm wondering if, you know, you said that you started prescribing a new diet for everybody because everybody benefits. But I'm just wondering, are there people who aren't affected by lectins? Because I know some people are much more susceptible and vulnerable to gluten than others, and some seem to have cast iron stomachs. I would put myself in that category. I've never eaten brown rice and felt horrible, or maybe I have and I just didn't know it. But for some reason, that kind of thing doesn't register with me.
Yeah, Tim, the amazing thing is I have a group of patients that have sought me out through the years that I call canaries in the book. And these are people like canaries in the coal mine who would react to gases in the air that would kill coal miners. But the canaries had a faster metabolic rate and they'd be affected first. So if the canaries stopped chirping, you'd run. Well, I know I have a lot of patients who are incredibly sensitive to lectins, and they can basically spot them a mile away. But what I've found through the years in looking for the inflammatory effects of lectins is that even people who don't feel them on the surface, we can measure their effects in, for instance, your blood vessels. Next, we're at the American Heart Association Atherosclerosis and Thrombosis meeting, where for the first time I showed that lectins are a significant cause of coronary artery disease, and that if I remove people's diets, that the marker of attack on the surface of coronary arteries in humans actually diminishes dramatically. So we've suspected this for years. It was what Big Ed had done in his diet that made me start researching this. And now for the first time, we've got some probably pretty doggone good suggestion that lectins are a major issue in coronary artery disease.
That wow. doesn't leave me feeling very good about my cast iron stomach, I have to admit. You're sort of shifting my idea.
No, and I thought I had a pretty good one, too.
Yeah,
I know.
So I have to go back to Big Ed for just a second. How did he surmise that lectins were not good for him, and he directed his and designed his whole diet around avoiding lectins?
So what Big Ed did, he basically ate what would actually be a true paleo diet. A paleo diet, quite frankly, has nothing to do with the current rage in paleo diets. He went back to a diet that we ate 10,000 years ago before the advent of grains and beans. And he eliminated foods that came from North or South America, because one of the things that's fascinating is that all of us are not from America, we're from Europe, Asia, or Africa. And that means that none of our ancestors were ever exposed to a lectin containing South America until 500 years ago when Columbus started trade. And we're not equipped to deal with those modern lectins. For instance, peanuts and cashews are American beans. They're not nuts at all, and they're full of lectins. Chia seeds are full of lectins. Goji berries are full of lectins. The nightshades, potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, and peppers are American plants full of lectins. Corn is an American plant. Quinoa is an American plant full of lectins. And the squash family, all those delicious zucchini that are starting to grow, are full of lectins.
Wow. So there is a remedy for this, and you introduce this in your book. And one of them is, as we've talked about before, removing the seeds of the tomato, removing the seeds. The other, which is so fascinating because my husband is a big
pressure cooker user. Everything gets pressure cooked. And you say this is a way to destroy the lectins.
Yeah. So a pressure cooker is just a miracle in terms of eating a lectin-free diet. A pressure cooker will destroy all lectins except for gluten. And gluten is a lectin. But even an hour of pressure cooking has been shown not to destroy the gluten lectin, unfortunately. But it'll break all other lectins. In fact, I talk about it in the book. There's even a bean company called Eden, E-D-E-N, and I have no relationship with them, that pressure cooks their beans because the lectins in beans are so mischievous, and most people, unfortunately, don't know that.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Gundry, you said cashews, and that really bothers me because I go down to Costco and buy these big jugs of cashews, and then I eat them.
Yep.
That's my snack. And I've always thought that that's a really healthy, good snack for me. Am I going to have to stop eating cashews? Because I can't really stick them in a pressure cooker and transform them and destroy the lectins because all the salt gets washed away. And that's really why I'm eating those cashews. So, I mean, I guess, you know, there are some foods you can transform.
So I want you to buy the salted pistachios at Costco instead. They're so much better for you. Believe it or not, cashews are part of the poison ivy family, and there's very good evidence. Yeah, they are. And the smart Amazonian Indians actually take the cashew nut, which is not a nut, it's a bean, and throw it away. They actually burn their hands eat the fruit, and I think they delight in sending us their toxin and laughing all the time. I have met so many people that cashews are the cause of their rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow.
When we got cashews out of their diet, everything was fine.
I'm making my extremely sad face because I love cashews. But I do.
I used to love cashews.
I do like pistachios.
So pistachios are one of the best nuts in the world. They're loaded with polyphenols, which if you've listened to me or seen me on the internet, I'm a polyphenol nut.
Ooh, that's what you get in red wine, right? Polyphenols.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything with red wine, Lynn is an expert, quite honestly.
So,
good for you.
Yeah. So could we talk a little bit about an anti-inflammatory diet? You know, this has been sort of all the rage in recent years. And I'm wondering if a lectin-free diet is synonymous with an anti-inflammatory diet, or are there other things that make us inflamed in our body? And maybe we should also just, while we're at it, go into what's so bad about having an inflamed body? It seems obvious, but
inflammation inflammation is the root cause of actually everything that's happening to us, whether it's heart disease, the huge increase in Alzheimer's disease, the huge increase in arthritis, and autoimmune diseases. You know, probably 90 million Americans now have an autoimmune disease, most of whom don't even know they have it. And it's I'll tell you a story from the book, which is fascinating. One of the early adapters of my program, I call Tony, and Tony had vitiligo. Vitiligo is the loss of pigmentation in your skin.
Right.
Michael Jackson had it. So Tony adapted my diet, and he called me. He says, "You're not going to believe this. My vitiligo is gone." And I said, get in here. Let me look at this. And sure enough, he had horrible vitiligo on his hands and his face, and it completely cleared up. He says, "What do you think caused that?" And I said, "Well, gosh, you know, this is a very anti-inflammatory diet, but that's too easy. Let me think about this." Well, it turns out that the things that give our skin color are cells called melanocytes, and they are actually nerve cells. And lectins are used by plants to paralyze insects by attacking their nerves. So I surmised that what I was doing was taking lectins out of Tony's diet, and he was no longer attacking his melanocytes as if they were lectins, and it's called molecular mimicry. And it was really one of the early clues that lectins are really the cause of most of the things that people think are inflammation.
Wow. This is just getting more and more interesting. If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Stephen Gundry. He's the author of the 2017 book and bestseller, The Plant Paradox. Now he's back with the Plant Paradox Cookbook. It's 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. And we might talk just briefly about the cover photo of the pizza. And it's made, the crust is made with cauliflower flour, which I had never heard of. I've heard of lots of different types of flowers, not cauliflower.
I've had that.
Oh, you're so evolved.
Well, because I have friends who have done Dr. Gundry's diet.
Oh, okay.
You poor guy.
Actually, I have to say it was, cauliflower flour is really good in different recipes, and cauliflower, which I never liked as a kid, has become one of my go-to, well, my friend's go-to staples.
So the pizza on the cover was made by a very famous chef in Palm Springs who owns several restaurants who are my patients, and she wanted, they owned an Italian restaurant and didn't want to kill people, so they made a cauliflower pizza crust that also uses Parmesan cheese, which is a safe casein A2 cheese, and it was a huge hit, and the people order it more than her regular crust, and so I asked her if we could adopt her recipe for, general consumption. I think we've done a really great job with it. So we've had a lot of James Beard award-winning chefs who have changed their lives by following the Plant Paradox, who've given us recipes. What I wanted to do with the cookbook is trying to make something that people will recognize the food, comfort food, like when it's the middle of winter in Park City, and you want something warm and a hearty stew, or you want pancakes or waffles. But these are, what I wanted to do is have foods that you love, but that will love you back. And that's the real key.
Well, that is the key, Dr. Gundry. And I have to tell you a little story that you can then, expand upon. But I have two friends in this community who a year ago, all I heard from them was the Plant Paradox and Dr. Gundry's new, revelation about lectins. And they were completely bought in, and everything was cauliflower this and cauliflower that, and, getting rid of the seeds. And then during the winter, each of them, you could call it, I guess, relapsed and went off of your protocol. Mm-hmm. And I think that is in part because they didn't have 100 delicious recipes in a cookbook that they could refer to. And I think, for somebody who's not Italian and has not been stripping the peel off of the tomato and removing the seeds for generations, the protocol requires a pretty significant shift and change in the way that you prepare and deal with food. And I think your cookbook is complementary to your initial book in that it gives people 100 ways to do that are fairly simple. Plus, reorganizing the pantry, which I heard was a big deal also. These ingredients are not the sort of things you find in the normal pantry.
Correct. But you can absolutely find them in the grocery stores, for instance, in Park City. Used to have a condo in Deer Valley, and I got so busy with all this, I eventually had to get rid of it because I couldn't ski enough, and I miss it terribly. But you're right. People, particularly in the winter, up in, Park City, you want comfort foods. But, for instance, I got a lemon poppy seed bundt cake recipe, which I actually have been munching on all week, and wow, is it good.
Sounds wonderful. Hey, I want to talk for a little bit about healing your gut. That's another thing beyond inflammation that we know is sort of the source of all illness and disease. And what's other than getting rid of lectins, how do we, help the healing of the gut along?
Several things. In both books, I talk about the seven deadly disruptors that have actually caused our gut to be leaky. And quite frankly, if you'd asked me if anybody had leaky gut 17 years ago when I started this, I would have probably laughed you out of the room. But I think that underlying all of our illnesses is leaky gut. So what's happened to us is we have killed off our normal microbiome, the friendly bugs that live in our gut, mm-hmm. with broad-spectrum antibiotics. Not only do we swallow them, but our animals are fed them. And so these antibiotics, little did we know, were killing also the bacteria in our gut. The other thing that's happened is that most of our crops have been treated with Roundup, not just GMO crops. And the Roundup is fed to animals. It's in all of our flour. It's in all of our oatmeal. It's in all of our corn. And then our animals have Roundup in them, and our food has Roundup in them. And what we didn't know is that Roundup was also killing the bacteria in our gut. So we've really lost this incredible ecosystem within us. Now, what I think has made the plant paradox so popular is there are a lot of gut healing protocols. But let's suppose that we're out on a boat in the reservoir, and we have a hole or several holes in the bottom of our boat. Now, we could take a bucket, and we could start bailing water, and we hopefully stay afloat. But you have to keep bailing to stay afloat, and that's what most leaky gut protocols do. You bail water. What I think is easier is you plug the hole. And my discovery is that lectins are the cause of making those holes. That's actually what they're designed to do. A very famous professor at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Fasano, first described this, and I'm on a panel in a month with him, and he's an amazing discovery. But lectins' job is to make leaky gut. So to me, the first step is getting lectins out of your life, and also don't take broad-spectrum antibiotics. Don't eat animals that have been fed broad-spectrum antibiotics. And for goodness sake, stay away from Roundup. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Wow. This is all very good stuff. The book is The Plant Paradox Cookbook. And The Plant Paradox, you can also find, it was published last year. The cookbook has 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. And our guest is Dr. Stephen Gundry.
I have to add one thing.
Please do.
I have to say, after this interview, Dr. Gundry, Kathleen Barlow, and Daniel Bryant, I am a convert, and that's a problem because when I convert to something, I'm all in. Here we go. You're going to be hearing about the Gundry all protocol right now for a long time on this show.
Which, you know what,
you
know what that means, Dr. Gundry, is next time you come back to Park City, you've got to come up to KPCW Studios, which you must know where it is, right in Old Town. And
right above the liquor store.
Yeah. I know exactly where you are.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I'll be back, I promise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get yourself the cookbook because it'll make living this way a whole lot easier.
Excellent. Yeah, now that you've got this lectin thing kicked and you've put out a couple books, it might maybe time to repurchase that Deer Valley condo.
Or at least come visit.
I'll come visit, I promise.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Stephen Gundry, The Plant Paradox, and the cookbook. And it looks like good stuff, really. But I love that about the pressure cooker.
Of course you do.
I had no idea.
Because Bob has been pressure cooking.
Oh, yeah. He is. Where pressure cookers scare a lot of people, he fully embraces it. And it's never blown up in our house. You know, that's what everyone thinks is going to happen. I admit I'm a little scared of it. But not anymore. And then the brown rice thing is very interesting as well. And lately I've been eating more white rice, and I didn't know why it was, but maybe I was feeling like Big Ed, the lectin thing. So
well, I've been I don't know what to say, Lynn. I have been eating a lot of cashews and wondering why I have a puppy belly, which is what I call it, sort of a distended stomach, even though I don't feel like I'm overweight. But, you know, maybe there's a connection between eating a pound and a half of cashews every day
and a puppy belly.
Some chronic inflammation yeah. that manifests as puppy belly.
There we go. Hey, let's thank our underwriters.
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Valley Behavioral Health, Park Meadows Country Club, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, and Park City Mountain.
And let's continue to thank our underwriters with this.
Hi, this is Damon Rogers, General Manager of Park Meadows Country Club. We are happy to support the mountain life on KPCW. Our new clubhouse just opened and features private dining with views of the Park City Ski Mountains. Plus, we have year-round golf, a fitness center, and amenities. More info at parkmeadowscc.com.
Matt here from San Francisco Design. Since the start of our business in 1990, we have been supporting KPCW. We offer home decor for Park City and Salt Lake and feature modern furnishings from around the world. Whether you're looking to furnish an entire home or just redecorating a single room, we can help with our in-house design team. Located on Bonanza Drive and on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
It's KPCW Park City, time now for National News.